The biggest sports stories in Wisconsin, talked about by Wisconsin sports fans. For Wisconsin sports fans.
The Bucks aren't answering the phone. It's as simple as that. They shouldn't answer the phone because you don't just get...
I don't care
if you give me 65 first-round picks, you're not getting another Giannis.
Right, so my natural take here is going to... You know, I'm going Packers here.
I fully agree with you.
Yeah, I'll take the Packers in the home opener as well.
Yeah, the Packers are going to come in and they got to prove something. They got to play with a chip on their shoulder, and I think they beat Detroit week
Jason,
one.
Do you think this is crazy that all four of us just picked the Packers in week one?
Congratulations, you've now assured the fact that the Lions will win.
This is Sunday Karma, powered by ESPN Wisconsin. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Alongside Greg Scalzo, Alex Stroph, and Kyle Wallace, here's Good Karma Brands founder and CEO Craig Karmazin.
I wouldn't call it a full house backfield today, would you, Strophy?
I would not, but wow, we made it almost 6 months into the newly expanded Sunday Karma, and Kyle finally updated the open.
There's no chance Kyle updated
0%. He's probably at a pool party in Vegas right now.
But it is updated. And it is the biggest day for so many teams of the Premier League season, because we've always said this is a football show,
yeah.
And we'll always keep you up to date on anything going on in football. Have you watched Welcome to Wrexham?
I have not, no. That might be next on the list. I finally watched Ted Lasso 2 months ago.
Do you have the Disney bundle or Hulu or any of that?
I do, yeah.
I think you and the girlfriend, Welcome to Wrexham.
So that is the dude from Always Sunny.
Yes.
Who bought the team, right?
With Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
Oh, I guess I should probably bring up Ryan Reynolds. He's kind of a big deal. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Worth the watch?
Yes.
You got to give me credit.
Here's what I will actually say. If you really, that's like the new version of it, but if you want to really understand football, here's what I would say to watch, and especially because what happened yesterday. Watch Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix.
Okay.
That's what you got to watch.
Will you give me credit that I've come along as a soccer guy?
Nope.
Why?
Nope. Because you haven't. You haven't in any way.
But I've been less rude when it comes to you turning on soccer.
Tell me one thing about soccer.
I got something here, Craig. I got something for you. No, I don't. Somebody won the FA Cup recently. Crystal Palace.
Okay. I'm not giving you anything. So if you give me Tottenham over Man U, there's the League Cup and then there's the FA Cup. But those are different. But
yeah, I don't know the
long
difference.
Story short, watch okay, here's my Palermo pick for the first segment of the show.
Okay.
Watch Sunderland Till I Die.
Sunderland Till I Die.
It is what they don't talk about it publicly, but it is what made Rob McElhenney want to buy a football team.
Got it.
And you know, they can't talk about that because that's on Netflix and they're on Hulu, you know, so they're not like, oh yeah. He talks about the connection to community and all that. But I think he saw that watching Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix, which is really, really awesome.
So Sunderland first, then Welcome to Wrexham.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Sunderland, especially with what happened yesterday, which I won't tell you what happened. And I don't think you're going to I don't think in your life you're going to hear what happened.
Okay. So you're not going to tell me?
No, you don't need to, because it'll ruin. It's like it's a spoiler if you're going to watch Sunderland Till I Die.
But
so watch Sunderland Till I Die.
Is this like a 1 hour documentary or is this a multiple day venture?
No, it's a multiple season binge.
So you're telling me I won't know for weeks what you're referring to that happened yesterday.
Correct. You won't even know then.
But Craig,
then once you finish watching the show after a month of watching the show, then you'll Google it and you'll see what happened yesterday.
But we can admit I'll forget to look up what happened yesterday in weeks when I finish this.
No, you won't. Because you'll care once you finish it.
Okay.
So then because you'll want to know what's going on with the team now.
Are you ready for like a mid-July text from me going, holy crap, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have so little of a life, it could be like June.
Oh, well, that's rude.
I'm just saying. I just don't think you have a lot going on. So I think...
What makes you think that?
I don't know. I pretty much know what you... I mean, what do you got? Like, you got... When you go home, what do you do?
In general or like today?
No, today.
Today, I'm doing a cookout with some friends.
Yep.
Man, that's about it.
So you could watch
go to the grocery store.
So you could watch like 6 episodes.
maybe yeah. 2.
Okay, so enough.
I'm a little insulted.
Enough of insulting you. We'll get back to that. We just had 2 unbelievable saves by Emi Martinez in the opening minutes of the Villa Man U game.
What's on the line here?
We're gonna get away from football quickly, but I will tell you first. everything's on the line here. Top five teams make it to Champions League. Mm-hmm. And right now, Aston Villa is playing Man U. Aston Villa is in sixth, 1 point ahead of Nottingham Forest, tied with Newcastle and Chelsea, who are in fourth and fifth, and 2 points behind Manchester City. Mm-hmm. So of those four teams, of those one, two, three, four, five teams, sorry, of those five teams, three of them will make it to the Champions League next year. The Champions League is where all the best teams from all the different European countries all play in one league against each other. That is the biggest, like, high-profile thing in all of football.
Have you always been a football fan?
No. I've just learned it in the last 10 years.
Okay.
It's awesome. And somehow Man U, who has nothing to play for right now, has dominated possession early on against Aston Villa. I'm just looking around. Nottingham Forest against Chelsea. That's the biggest game where you got two teams playing against each other. Nottingham Forest can do a big favor to Aston Villa, you know, because if Forest wins, then Villa controls their own destiny.
We need to get you like an Octobox instead of watching you attempt to swivel and check in.
If we put on Peacock, I think they have that going, but we can get that going later. But we have a lot of things to get to, and where we'll start is by quizzing you.
Oh, we're starting there.
We're going to start by quizzing you.
Okay.
And in the open, I heard a little discussion about Giannis, mm-hmm. and we're going to start because the NBA Finals are almost upon us. We have a two-game-to-none lead by the Pacers, who had defeated the Bucks, and a two-game-to-one lead for the Thunder, who got throttled last night.
Throttled.
In Minneapolis by the Wolves. And what I want to know is, who are the 10 players active in the NBA who have made at least four first team all NBA teams?
Mm. 10, you said?
There are 10 players who are active in the NBA who have made at least four first team all NBAs.
Okay, let's knock out the easy ones. LeBron.
LeBron is first with 13.
13. That's crazy. Steph Curry.
Steph Curry is on the list with a shocking number.
Shockingly low?
Steph Curry has been first team All-NBA four times.
That's it?
Yes, only four times. So that it puts him on the list.
Well, I was going to say Chris Paul, but that almost makes me
worry. Chris Paul is on the list. Okay. He's got four times.
Four as well. Okay.
I mean, first team is not easy.
Jokic? He's got to be four now.
Jokic has it five times.
Yeah.
Well done.
Giannis.
Giannis, of everyone in the NBA, is second on the list.
Really?
With seven.
Seriously?
Can you believe that?
I believe seven.
All active players in the NBA, I think that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think we know he's done it the last 7 years. But to understand how elite that makes Giannis, that puts him second in the entire NBA. Like, that goes back to, I just feel like we don't appreciate what we see. Because there's other guys who just don't play that many games in some years. They don't, you know, they are not as durable. And I think because of Giannis's injuries in the postseason, his regular season durability, I think sometimes we forget how unbelievable it's been. Giannis Antetokounmpo is second among all active players in the NBA with seven first-team appearances. So we got LeBron, we got Giannis, we got Jokic, we got Curry, and we got Chris Paul. You got half of the list.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting. Kevin Durant will be on here.
Kevin Durant is on the list with six.
So he's behind Giannis.
I mean, that's never would have guessed in 100 years. Never would have guessed that.
That is nuts. Okay, interesting.
I mean,
all right.
I mean, Durant was playing 5 years at a high level before Giannis, you know, was coming into the league. I mean, that's amazing.
It is. Wow. Okay, so now my head goes to some of the younger guys and if four is enough for them, right? So I'm thinking Luke has only been in the league now, what, 6 years? I don't think he has
Luka
four.
Luka has five.
He does?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So now you got LeBron, Giannis, Durant, Luka, Jokic, Curry, Paul. You're only missing three guys?
Three guys. I have 7 of 10. This shouldn't be that hard, right? You're thinking of faces of the NBA. A guy that keeps popping into my head, Craig, that I'm concerned because of the injuries in past years is Joel Embiid. Is he on here?
No.
He's not?
Nope.
Okay.
If you're thinking about injuries, two of the guys had high-profile injuries this year. I know that doesn't narrow it down.
No, it doesn't. There was a lot of injuries this year. Damian Lillard.
Nope.
No? Okay.
One had it in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, Tatum.
Yep. Jason Tatum's got four.
Does he? Okay. Interesting. This is only first team?
Yep. Only first team.
Wow.
What about Kawhi?
Yeah, he's got to be on here.
Nope.
Really? Huh. Who am I forgetting? I'm going older players in my head. Anthony Davis is
yes.
he on here?
Yeah, yep. Okay. He's got four. You're missing one other player.
Missing one guy. Older or younger?
Older. Made third team this year.
Okay. I got to admit, I haven't looked at the All-NBA teams, so that doesn't help me at all.
Well, I mean, you got to know at least it's not Russell Westbrook, which you were probably thinking about.
I was. You're right.
He has two.
That's it. Back-to-back seasons, I guess, after Durant left OKC. I don't know. I'm going to say I'm stumped. Unless you want to give me a hint.
I will give you a hint, and the hint is the guy was third team this year. We'll let you think about it as we continue. We got to talk a little bit about the Brewers and what's going on in Pittsburgh and what's going on this year. We got Jason Wilde coming up at 10:30. I got another question for you coming up at 11. That's an NFL related question.
Are we done with the mystery guest? Are we?
No. It's just more when there's more people here. That's more like.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Didn't we have everybody here last week?
Yeah. I don't know. There was some reason why. Yeah. Mystery guests are still a big part of the show. Huge part of the show.
I mean, I saw you were down in West Palm and mystery guest galore earlier this week.
Yep. Mystery guests are still a big part of this show, as is our Brewers Talk, which is coming up next. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
That really jump out there, the three I would say that jump out, to me at least, are LeBron with 13. Yep. That he's that much farther ahead of everyone. Giannis with 7. And then Chris Paul with 4, who I still feel like is underrated because he hasn't won a championship, that he's actually on that list of the top 10, you know, in the league.
I think the fact Steph only has 4 is surprising.
Yeah, and that Durant only has 6. Yeah, on the low end, I agree on those two. All right, who is your final guess?
It's got to be James Harden. I didn't realize it was James Harden.
Well done. I just wanted to illuminate how unbelievable what Giannis is in the process of doing. He's done it 7 years in a row and one of only two players in the entire league who's done it twice in their career, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Also unbelievable what happened the last two nights with the Brewers.
Yeah.
Is there a feeling from you, because there's a feeling from me, that all these games, they won the last 4 years, that they're now losing?
Yes, correct. The incomparable, or not incomparable, but just like games that turn out a way you've never seen before. They're on the wrong side of it this year. Where last year, right, they had, 18 different starting pitchers by July 4th?
They never come back and win.
No.
Like, you know, I think there is a stat that they have not come back after the seventh inning when behind and won a game. Like, so they don't come back and win.
I didn't know that, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, 6-5 on Friday night in a game that they were winning by a run in the ninth, that they were winning by a run in the 10th, that they were winning by a run in the 7th even after scoring 2, right? I think so. Yeah, they went up.
Yeah, you're right.
They went up 3-2. They went up 4-3. They went up 5-4. And they lost the game 6-5 in 10 innings.
On a wild pitch.
On a wild pitch. That actually felt like, that was like, I don't want to say it was the worst part, but it kind of felt like.
It was the worst part.
It was a pretty bad part of it.
It's a tough way to go down to a team that isn't good. At least hasn't been good this year.
No, a team that was 17-34 going into that game. A team that wins one out of every three games. Right. So you're like, all right, I guess that's the one game they won out of the three. And then yesterday, it's a 1-1 game. Brewers give up a run in the 7th. And you think, all right, this is going to be the time. Finally, they're going to come back. And do you know how the game ended yesterday?
I don't.
It ended.
Do I want to know?
The exact same way that the Brewers season ended last year. The exact same way that the entire Brewers season ended. Where you got Bryce Terang at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're going to get the big bats coming up. You got two guys on base. So it's first and second. And as fast as Terang is, you know the one thing he's not going to do is hit into a ground ball double play.
And that's what he does.
And the Brewers' season last year ended with a ground ball right up the middle where the shortstop was able to step on second, throw to first. And at the time, remember, like, Churio was just so hot. Mm-hmm. So you're like, if Jackson Churio comes up against the Mets in that spot.
Yeah, we felt like they could win that game.
You're thinking,
right?
Like, no matter what's going to happen, like, Jackson Churio is at least getting a hit. Now, Jackson Churio this year, not exactly that version of the postseason Churio. But still, if you bring him up in the ninth inning in a one-run game, or if Terang had tied the game, you know, as it looked like he could, and Terang hits a hard ball up the middle, right to the shortstop. Shortstop steps on second base himself, throws it to first, and that is the game. Very, very sadly.
It's just disheartening, right? Because I think coming off of last year and the heartbreaker that was in that opening round matchup with the Mets and going down the way they did, I think there was still a ton of optimism, right? Because it kind of similarly to the Packers, it's the youth movement, it's this young team, you've got all these up-and-comers.
No, it's not similar to the Packers. It's with the Brewers, no matter what, like no matter what anyone thinks, like last year was the year that I think put it totally over the top, where it's like, you sure. Don't even have to look at what's on the field. Like, we just trust enough in the Brewers that they're going to go out and do it. Youth movement, old movement, it doesn't matter. Whoever's there is going to do their job. The bullpen's going to find a way. Sure, the pitching's beat up, but it's
sure,
all
going to
come together.
I guess the point I'm making, though, Craig, is like just another year of development for these young guys, right? The Terangs, the Freeliks, the Churios, et cetera. And you've seen it a little bit, but it's been inconsistent. And you know, you look at the last six games, I think the series in Pittsburgh ends today. You look at that Baltimore series at the end of the week. And then Pittsburgh, I viewed those as, okay, this is a get-right game or get-right couple of series.
Oh, I mean,
get yourself back over 500.
With the tough schedule, this was like, all right.
This was the break.
If you go, worst-case scenario, you go 5-2 in those seven games, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that was what you needed to do there. And instead, it's best-case scenario is splitting with the Pirates here.
And that would be 4-3 in those seven games.
Yeah.
Started off hot against Baltimore, obviously the heartbreaker in 11 innings on Wednesday. And then you mentioned what happened in Pittsburgh the last couple of nights. So,
by the way, the Red Sox, you plan to go see the Red Sox at all?
I will be there tomorrow, yeah.
Yes, I will too.
It seems like the Jordan Love first pitch is going to get some people out to the ballpark.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't even know Jordan Love was throwing the first pitch.
Jordan Love first pitch tomorrow, as well as Dollar Hot Dog Day. So,
wow.
Gonna be a busy day at AmFam Field tomorrow.
Yeah. And the Red Sox, I think.
How many games have you been to?
Probably been a six.
Good for you. This will only be my second.
Yeah. I think this will be my seventh Brewers game of the season.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm as excited as I was last year. And maybe that'll change. Obviously, there's a lot of season left.
Well, I mean, the Brewers led start to finish last year.
That's what I'm saying,
year.
Right? And it was this exciting, you know, young product, and Jackson Churio's really getting acclimated.
It's not the young product. Like, no, it's the winning. That's the only difference.
That's
and,
the
and
big difference,
the
yeah.
Health, the health of the pitching is still a thing, and that is improving.
That
right?
was an issue last year, but...
I know, exactly, and that's why you don't think of it as an excuse for this team.
Right.
But Ashby throws his first inning of the year yesterday, so at least there's a good sign. One inning, one hit, two strikeouts yesterday. So they're getting healthier, which is a good sign. The question is just like, it's not too late now, right? Like you're 6.5 back,
no.
Which is a lot early. And you're in fourth place, which is not where you want to be, but it's so early.
It's still early.
162 games, right? You're 53 in. You're not even a third of the way into the season.
Right.
So I it's that feeling of games that are being lost that it's like, wait, these are the games the Brewers win. Like, what's going on here?
When you look at a guy like Christian Yelich, what's just the gut reaction as you see the season he's had?
My gut reaction is he's starting to get it together.
Okay.
My gut reaction is a two home run game Thursday night, and that maybe something's starting to happen. You know, last seven games, seven hits, six runs scored, two home runs, three walks, 7 out of 27. Like,
so is he starting to get it together, or is it just a nice stretch?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ultimately the question.
I mean,
we'll
I'm
get
not
the answer,
like,
but
a third of the way into the baseball season, you have to start thinking stuff is real. But at least we've seen some sparks within Contreras, you know, within Yelich to not think like, okay, this is for whatever reason going to be a lost season.
Mm.
And when Yelich went down last year, he was having a really solid season.
Right.
So it's not like I'm thinking, oh, Yelich is totally done, but it was definitely concerning when you saw how he started the year.
Yeah. I mean, you can't look at that and be like, okay, there's the face of your franchise who's not providing what you're paying him to provide. Churio, I'm not worried about. I mean, I know Homer was super worried about the fact he doesn't walk early this week, but he's still the youngest player in baseball, and, you know, he's going to be a generational superstar. So I'm really not worried about him. Obviously, I'd like him to kick it into high gear a little bit. And then, yeah, you mentioned the pitching. That's where the main concern
and
is.
Contreras is such a solid player on both ends. Like, yep. The fact that he started slowly on the offensive side, like, he's fine. Like, this Agreed. Team is fine. Frelick has good at-bats. Hoskins is solid. Like, they're just, yeah, as I said, it's just like these one-run games and the lack of spark where, like, when they're down, where, like, it has been. It's not like it feels like it's over. It is over when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's never down? Jason Wilde. He joins us next. We'll talk a little Packers, Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wildy, is this your request today, this song?
No, I think this is from DJ Jazzy Will.
Ah, Will, making an impact on Sunday Karma.
Been jamming to this song recently.
I am jealous of Will.
You are?
Why?
I am, yeah. So, from one catcher to another, I caught in Little League and high school, and I Facebook has been pressuring me to become friends with Will, and I wanted to confirm that this handsome fella coming out from behind home plate, looking to throw out a runner at third base, it might appear, was him. I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting, you know, fished. And it was him, and he played 2 years at Concordia. So
I don't think it's
him.
He did
something that's pretty cool.
I don't think it's him. So? No, I mean, he's under 50. I can't imagine he has Facebook.
It's a good point.
But he does. Do you not have it's? You said it was you, Will.
Yeah, I do have it, but I never use it. I'd agree. Young people don't really use Facebook that much.
Did you request him, or did someone hack your account and request Wildy?
No, I never requested him. I think it was like the suggested friends.
Oh, it's Jason's that desperate exactly. that he's pulling in the people you may know. Oh, that's a big spot for you, Jason.
It automatically pops up. I like to, you know,
big Facebook
check
guy.
What's going on with people? Yeah, huge. I'm more of a MySpace guy personally, but it's all good.
If you still had a MySpace, what would be your featured song?
Hero by Foo Fighters, which I'd like to bring back on KBN if you can make that happen.
I know a guy who could make that happen. Now, who would be your top six friends?
Isn't that like on T-Mobile?
No, that right? was MySpace.
Was Tom?
Tom was automatically Tom the first in there, guy? Yes. Tom Anderson, yes.
Yeah. Great question. Would Tausch have MySpace? Because he doesn't have Facebook, and he barely uses his
I feel
Instagram,
like it'd be like your two kids plus Paula yep. plus Tausch.
And Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
No, probably Dorsey Levins instead, but be that as it may.
I feel like Wildy's still on some kick to like let people know that Dorsey didn't hold out, that it was like a franchise tag. It wasn't a holdout. Like 30 years later, you're still trying to like wave the flag for Dorsey.
I just think it's important to make that distinction, just as I would with Antonio Freeman, who also did not hold out, who also was franchise tagged. If you want to get to the root of that, the root of it is, and I understand it, because fans root for the team. They root for the jerseys. They don't necessarily root for the specific player, which I would argue is generally a smart move because you never know if that player may change or evolve or devolve and become someone then that you're thinking, I used to like this guy, and now I'm not so sure I feel the same way about him.
Why, so did you watch that, watch the Rogan podcast? Is that why you're saying that?
No, I did not have okay. 3 hours available. I did watch the Untold Netflix piece on Brett Favre.
Oh, you did?
I didn't think... Yeah, it did not.
Those are sloppy.
For me,
those Netflix documentaries are sloppy. They're not like there's quality documentary work to me, and then that Untold series to me is like if you've never heard about it, then it's good. But if you know the story at all, like you know the Johnny Manziels, the malice at the like, it's nice if you don't know the story or if you just want like that, like oh, I remember that. That was cool. That was wild. It's not in depth, like
did you watch
quality
the Favre
storytelling. What?
Did you watch the Favre one?
No.
You're not missing much.
Totally agree.
You know everything. You're
I'm saying, like, if you want, like, and by the way, that's not Netflix overall, because, like, Clubhouse, their documentary on the 2024 Boston Red Sox was excellent. You know, that was, like, as good as, like, any NFL films or, like, whatever your sports document, you know, documentaries
you
that you like.
Ding, ding, ding.
Along with, like, you know, Celtic City, you know, on Max, which, you know, that was Bill Simmons and Connor Schell from Words and Pictures, who did the Giannis documentary, who did the Jordan documentary. Like, I mean, that's a different level than these Untold Netflix ones.
Totally agree. But some of us are still waiting for their delayed copy of Mel since they weren't able to attend the showing. So I had other options and I watched that. I watched the CNN Kobe documentary series. That was the same. I would agree. It was
It's a CNN doc.
It's just Cliff Notes.
Yeah. Although I like the CNN one on Martha Stewart. That one was solid for me. I had not
gotten to that one.
Yeah, I just hadn't. I just don't think I had like remembered or knew her kind of origin story. So again, because I didn't know as much about her, then it was solid.
Right. That totally makes sense.
You as a Martha Stewart fan makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I love like
entrepreneurship.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaking barriers.
Totally makes sense.
Totally. And people
have you met Martha Stewart?
I don't think so.
We should get her on the show.
Not interested in that.
Why not?
I don't know.
Like again,
I think she'd be a fascinating interview.
I agree with Strofe on this.
You think? I mean, but her story's been told so many times. It's not like her guard's going to be down when Wisconsin, like, you know, show calls to have her on.
But I don't think you're random. And I think
you don't think for her life I'm random? Look, you think Martha Stewart wakes up thinking that maybe she'll get a call from me?
Maybe.
I think I'm as random as it could get for her.
Yeah, that's probably true. You might be right on that. But I think you would be a fascinating interviewer in that context.
I totally agree. Saying that. So, Jason,
speaking of fascinating interviewer, here we go.
There's this 25 people that Strofe told me was important. So I read through it.
I didn't say it was important.
Yeah. Well, you sent it in like for our show today.
I sent the potential topic of no Packers on the 25 under 25 by PFF. Is the youth movement broken? That's what I sent.
I mean, I'm not like the hot take youth movement broken type thing. Like, because Jordan Love to me is part of the youth movement, right?
I would agree, yes.
And he's just not 25.
The whole roster is.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're, you know, I had not seen this, and then Jen, Gabe, and Chewy brought it up to me. And I was momentarily, as I say, I think it's made its way onto our social media channels. I was speechless at first. But then upon further consideration, and I talked about it with Molly and Matt Hamilton on Jim, Matt, and Molly. And I think I've settled into the place where, you know, yes, if you are a perpetually forever young program, which is what Goody clearly wants to do, and I'm not just saying that because it's a continuation of Ted, because the thing that I think he's doing differently than Ted is that he's not re-signing guys at nearly the same clip to second contracts. I go back to this again and again before the 2024 draft. We were talking to him, and out of the blue, completely unprompted, he brought up the fact that they did a study and that on average 1.6 players per draft class get signed to a second contract. And under Ted, I would argue that that number was higher. And under Goody, I would argue that that number is
wait,
far
1.6 lower. Among all NFL teams or among the Packers historically?
No, among all NFL teams, okay. He said. That was the study. So 32 teams. Like, some teams, you know, remember, too, the Packers are an anomaly because they don't normally have – they have, like, 9, 10, 11-player draft classes. Some teams have 5, 6-player draft classes because they trade up. They don't have extra picks, et cetera. But the point is that – where I landed on this is just because they don't have anybody under 25 doesn't necessarily mean that they've screwed up their paradigm of perpetually young. What it does mean is that the 2023 and 2024 draft classes, or 2022 and 2023 draft classes, who are in either the fourth year of their rookie deal or the third year of their rookie deal, have got to produce, and they have to elevate their games significantly if they are, in fact, ready to be a championship team, like Goody said at the end of the season. So look at that 2022 draft class. You got Quay Walker. You got Devontae Wyatt. You've got Christian Watson. You got Sean Ryan. You got Zach Tom. You got Romeo Doubs, right? You got Rashid Walker. I think Kingsley Enagbare is in that class as well. That's 8 guys. And they are all either prominent starters or starter-ish guys. And they're all, with the exception of Devontae Wyatt, who got a fifth-year option, they are all in the last year of their contracts. Now, what percentage of those guys are going to be re-signed? I don't know. But Goody has kind of laid the groundwork to say, hey, we're going to take these guys, they're going to play their 4 years on their rookie deal, and then we're going to get new guys to play on their rookie deals. And so if you are going to be this young all the time, there have to be years when PFF puts that list out and you have guys on there. And I would argue that Tucker Kraft should have been on there, or at least should have been honorable mention. I don't think Edgerrin Cooper deserved to be on that list, but maybe after this season he does.
Yep.
But going forward, you better have some more under 25 guys on that list. And then the guys that are just over 25 better really play at a high level. Otherwise, then Strofe's question about the process being, I don't want to say broken, but maybe flawed or having some bugs in it would be fair criticism.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think the ultimate point, though, Jason, is, and we've talked about this many times, is the Packers lack superstars, right? I think they
right.
have.
And 25 means that every team on average, you know, won't have one, right? If it's point, that means it's like 0.7 per team. Right. I guess that means every team should have one.
They did do a list of 10 honorable mentions.
Right.
And there were still no Packers on that.
But the Packers don't have top 10 picks.
I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
I thought Tucker Kraft would at least be in that next echelon.
Right, because LaPorta was on the list.
I think he was 24th.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you think, like, how far is Tucker Kraft?
Lions have 5 guys on
the
list.
5 guys on the list, and they're – I don't look at them and go, boy, these guys are young all
right.
the time.
Right. You don't look at the Detroit Lions and say, youth movement, right? But you look at the Green Bay Packers who say youth movement because that's what they've made their identity the last few years.
Yeah. And that's why this has been so interesting. That's why Strofe is right that it's definitely an interesting conversation.
But Jahmyr Gibbs, don't argue, should be there. Penny Sewell should be there, right? Like,
I have no arguments with any of the 5 guys they have on that list. Now, Tucker Kraft versus Sam LaPorta is an interesting conversation that we don't need to get into, but... Yeah, 5 versus 0, when that is your identity, that's why it's a little concerning to me. I still think this is a playoff team. I still think this is a good team. But, yeah, it's a little concerning.
And I would add that for all the draft and develop and perpetually young, the 2 guys that you can argue are stars are 2 guys that were signed in free agency
correct.
A year ago and were studs in their first year. And one is, I think McKinney is 25 or 26, I think. Josh Jacobs is 26 or 27. Both those guys are really, really, really good players. You could say they are NFL stars, but again, they had to go out and get those guys in part because at running back, AJ Dillon, when you pick a guy in the second round, you expect him to be a starter like Eddie Lacy was. Say what you want about Eddie Lacy, who takes a lot of shrapnel, as Tausch likes to say. But the guy was a 2-time 1,100-yard rusher in a 4-year span. You got what you wanted to get out of him. You did not get what you wanted to get out of the mayor of Door County. No matter how likable he is, no matter how personable he was not productive enough. And they gave him a year where he was had every opportunity to seize the being the guy from Aaron Jones, and he didn't do it. And then, you know, you look at McKinney, that signing, great as it is precipitated by the fact that you missed on a first-round pick in Darnell Savage,
yep.
who you gave a fifth-year option to, and that was a mistake, right? And so, again, if you're going to rely on draft and replace, like draft and develop some and then replace with new draftees and let somebody else pay these other guys, then you can't have those two, a second-round and a first-round pick, miss, because then you're going to have to be replenishing in free agency, and sooner or later that catches up to you.
Mm-hmm. Chatting with Jason Wilde. But you make it seem like having to sign a free agent is like the worst thing. But are you saying it's because they're having to do it like reactively rather than proactively?
They did it again this year.
Right? I mean, signing Aaron Banks is because you missed, again, on a second-round pick in Josh Myers. Right? Now, look, Josh Myers, loved covering him, really good human, was willing to talk about how difficult last year was after losing his dad during training camp. Like, I admire him as a guy. The fact that his contract with the Jets is a backup contract, and the fact that he started like 50 games in Green Bay tells you that while they used him, like he basically was an innings eater, like as a starting pitcher, right? Because he never elevated his game. The league didn't see him as a priority free agent. And because they were like, well, we're not going to, and they made it clear they were not re-signing him down the stretch. Well, if that's the case, that's what leads you to giving Aaron Banks a $77 million contract. Now, I don't know if he's going to get all $77 million, but the point is that the miss on Josh Myers in the 2021 second round means you move Elgton Jenkins to center and you sign Aaron Banks. And so now we have examined three instances of that in the last 2 years. That's fine. It's worked out so far, and we'll see what Aaron Banks turns out to be. That's not a problem. It's that if you do that 3, 4, 5 years in a row and your program is predicated on this approach, there's the chance that things are going to go south.
Jason, when we continue with you, we are going to find out not only what happens is Emmy Martinez just got a red card, so that'll mean a penalty shot upcoming in the 2 minutes of stoppage time for Manchester United, but we'll also find out where each of the three of us rate Jordan Love among NFL quarterbacks.
Ooh.
Because he did not make this list because he is under 25. He's over 25, but Brock Purdy was just signed. I'm interested in where we rank Jordan Love today among NFL quarterbacks. That's as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
More Sunday Karma coming up on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
So don't go breaking my heart. Just tell me apart if you're gonna leave me. Hey, don't go breaking my heart. Just tell me apart if take it or leave it.
I was mistaken. They did send off Emmy Martinez with a red card, but there was no penalty kick awarded. Man U and Aston Villa go into halftime 0-0, but there means Villa is going to be playing with only 10 in the second half. They need to win to stay in the Champions League next year. Jason, normally we chat during the break, but I was compiling my list of quarterbacks I think are ahead or better today than Jordan Love.
And okay. I was wondering if I had upset you in some manner that I was being snubbed. So good to know.
I ended up with 12.
12 that are better.
That are better. Strophy, what did you end up with?
I'm really struggling on where to put him. He's somewhere between 8 and 12. Now, when you were doing this rankings, were you doing this is how I would rate the quarterbacks in the NFL right now, or these are the guys I would take over Love?
No, I'm doing this is how I'd rate them right now.
Okay.
So like
I more went the other way.
So I'm saying like I have Matthew Stafford ahead of him.
Okay, so yes. I didn't.
So I think that's the way we should do it, because otherwise he benefits from still being young.
Age, yes.
And Tausch, right. And
I'm saying like Bo Nix. Like then are you saying like,
right.
like Bo Nix?
So that's a name I struggled with. Baker Mayfield is even a name I struggled with.
So you have to So I think the way to look at this, and look, I think you can make an argument that you would rather have Bo Nix. I think you can. I don't know if you're right, but I think you can make that argument.
Drake May, well, right? Like those types of Caleb Williams.
Another great
like
example.
All of those guys.
Right. Yep. And Drake May is a good one because I know when we were doing this on Wilde and Tausch, I know Josh DiMaggio texted us and said that he would take Drake May over Jordan Love right now. And what Tausch and I did was if this team called you, and this is the genius of Tausch, he's just unbelievable. Would you, if their GM called you, would you say, nah, I'm good, or sure, that sounds good, if they offered their quarterback to you in exchange for Jordan Love? Which I thought was a really smart way to frame it. And I want to do it different. Right. Yeah, and I want to, and I'm saying that because I want to do it differently now. Now I want to say if you're choosing a quarterback for the 2025 season that is going to give you the best chance to win the Super Bowl, are you picking these players or are you putting Jordan Love ahead of them or behind them?
So and here's the 12 players. Here's the 12 players I've come up with. And you guys can tell me first how you feel about each of these 12 and then about a few of the others.
Yep.
So I am saying I would take Josh Allen for this season over Jordan Love.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would take Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would take Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would take Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I would take Jalen Hurts.
That was my same top five, different order, but
okay. So then I would take, and these are not necessarily. I'll kind of go in a little bit of an order, but not in order. I would take Jaden Daniels.
Struggled with that
What?
One.
How do you struggle with that? How is that even
he could run into challenges in year
because
two as a starter,
I think,
just like Jordan Love did.
I think C.J. Stroud is another good example.
I mean, Jordan Love has never played. I mean, he played a postseason game similar to how Jaden Daniels played his first postseason game. That's the only comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else Jaden Daniels has done is not comparable to anyone else who's ever played football in the National Football League.
I put him above Jordan Love in my list, but I struggled with it. He's right next to him. I have him right above Love.
See, he's
I think that's fair. I would put him ahead of him too, though.
Okay,
I don't disagree with
that. Then you guys might not put this guy ahead of him, but I'm putting C.J. Stroud ahead of Jordan Love.
I did not. I put him behind Love. I would take Love.
Why?
Comfortability in the system matters to me. Love's poise.
System?
I think he has more of it than Stroud.
You're saying Stroud doesn't have it in his system?
No, I think it's just a little bit more fluid in Houston than it is in Green Bay. And obviously Love has come up and he's had more years than Stroud to get comfortable. But I don't know. I'm really impressed by Love's poise, less impressed by Stroud's. It's a close one, though. I have them right next to each other as well. So that's a name I could hear an argument for. But I would feel more comfortable saying yes to Daniels and less comfortable.
And Stroud takes more sacks. Love throws more interceptions.
Yep.
That would be, the comparison there. All right, Wilde, what are you going with there?
I am not I would say that is the one guy that I have a hard time figuring out whether to take Love over him or not. Like the other ones are either, no, it's pretty clear cut to me that I would take Love or the opposite. No, it's pretty clear cut to me that I would not take Love over that guy. So I would say that's a coin flip for me too. That's so the one that I, I am much less certain of that than you are, Craig.
So here's the one I am least certain on, and I put him on the list.
I'm excited.
But I'm the least certain on this one because of one stat, Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I ultimately said I would take Justin Herbert over him. Justin Herbert has zero playoff wins his career.
0-2.
And after playing a spotless regular season, was terrible in the postseason.
Awful. What, did he throw four interceptions in that game?
I'm going to take my chances that he is still the quarterback who we've seen when he's healthy, and it has been a better.
That same class. So I put Herbert above Love. I did too. So I'm actually okay with
too.
This.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the one that was tricky for me.
Right, and in fairness, I would argue that there's been, and we'll see what happens. He's had 1 year now with Harbaugh. He is a guy, much like Jordan Love this season, I am fascinated to see whether he elevates his game significantly or remains in that kind of meh, he's okay, he's pretty good, whatever category. And I think there's been more dysfunction in LA. I think there's been more issues in terms of the quality of team around him. Last year, Jordan Love threw three picks in a playoff game. So there's not a whole lot of difference there between what Herbert did and what he did.
That's a good point.
I don't remember the Packers playoff game. What happened in that game?
Well, Elton Jenkins
got the ball over four times. Yep. Their defense played well enough to win.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
Defense was good.
No, they got cheated on the fumble by the refs on the kickoff.
They did get hosed on that.
They did get hosed.
And the whole game was thrown off, and Jordan Love wasn't great, but the defense played well. Okay, now I remember that.
Offensive line was not good. Yeah.
Jared Goff, I think, severely underrated.
And no argument for me.
I'm putting him ahead of Jordan Love.
Zero argument for me.
Yep. That's one of those, though, where if you're doing the other route of, you know, are you picking him? If you're moving forward, then it's a different conversation.
If it's but just right for now, this today, season, yeah.
Yeah, not even close.
I totally agree.
This next one, you know, I'm amazed that he is here and that I'm saying this, but I absolutely take Baker Mayfield over Jordan Love.
This is the one I was the most excited for.
Really?
Yes, because I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. Obviously, the story's awesome, but I think he is such an underrated quarterback. Shockingly, I agree with you, Craig. I'm Team Baker Mayfield.
Me too.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I thought you would make the argument.
No, sorry to disappoint you. Look, again, this is, I mean, I want to make sure I'm clear here. This, in my mind, is a gigantic, enormous season for Jordan Love.
Yes.
Like, he has to. Like, I don't want to hear about how they're going to be, you know, they've got a really good running back and they've got a really good defense and he can just be a game manager. I mean, he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers 2011 when he threw for 45 touchdowns and six picks. Mm-hmm. But he has got to be, for the entire season, much more consistent and much more avoiding mistakes. And if he can do that, then he's going to be on his way. I don't think I don't believe, even though I was part of the crew that crowned him after that second half of the 23 season, I do not believe he is on a Hall of Fame trajectory like the two guys that came before him. I don't believe that. What I do believe is if this season, this is like a fulcrum season for him, and if it goes well and he starts to look more and more and more like the guy that we think he's capable of being, then you've got my attention, and then we can have a conversation about not is he good, but how good slash very good slash great
and
is
we,
he.
And we don't know how hurt he was, right, and all that stuff coming off the injury.
Yeah, I think it certainly played a role. But,
right. I'm not denying that it did, but I think it's important to say this. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Aaron Rodgers playing with a fractured tibial plateau in 2018,
right.
Yeah, he didn't play great, and that was a factor in how he played that season, but that's part of the job.
Yep, absolutely.
You don't get to stay healthy all
season. Right, I got two more.
No one does.
And I led with this one earlier, Matthew Stafford. Not for the future, but for this year. You saw Stafford, how good he was in the postseason game against the Eagles, mm-hmm. and you can compare that to how, you know, you have a really easy comparison there when you see Jordan Love against the Eagles and you see Stafford against the Eagles. I think you got to go Stafford.
He's a seasoned veteran. He's a Super Bowl champion. It's hard to argue against that for this year. He's one of the names I wrote down and struggled on where exactly to put him. I can't make a great argument against it because he's just proven how good he can be. And I think, to your point, that the playoff game against the Eagles was one of them. So,
Plays pretty well hurt.
Yeah, really good point. Here's my last one, and this one.
It's Purdy, right?
Yes, is Brock Purdy.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I think that is a quarterback, and this is not a knock.
You're saying because he's had such good talent around him, and when his talent's not there, he's
including
not the same.
Including the coach, right? Including the play caller. And this is not his fault. I think he's way exceeded expectations as the final pick in the draft from a couple years ago. But I think he's a product of his environment. And again, that's not a knock, right? Saying system quarterback, it sounds yucky when you say that about somebody. But I think that's a compliment. I think what Brock Purdy's been able to accomplish in San Francisco is incredible. It's an awesome story.
By the way,
it's going
to
be a great Netflix documentary on him someday.
It's awesome to see. Like, so Love versus Purdy last year, they both played 15 games.
Okay.
They both, they were so close across. They
like
both
almost identical.
They both had a 2.6 interception percentage. So
really?
They both threw interceptions on 2.6% of their passes. Love 5.9 touchdown. Purdy 4.4 touchdown. Mm. So Love threw a bunch more touchdowns, but Purdy averaged 8.5 yards per pass, as Jordan Love averaged 8 yards per pass. Purdy connected on 65.9, Love on 63.1. Wow. So, like, you could argue, I mean, they're very close statistically. Obviously, they both had good running games this year. They're so close. I think I probably went back to just head-to-head when they played, like, Love made threw the interception. Yeah. Purdy made the plays. I think that's why I went with that. I think they're so close, but I just had to give Purdy the slight edge. And by the way, he was way more experienced at the time. Purdy's also been to Super. Has he been to 2 Super Bowls?
Just one.
Okay, he's been to 1 Super Bowl already. So that's why I gave it to Purdy in a really close one.
I would take Love, but I think they are as close as it gets.
I want to come out of this year saying it's Love, but I feel like this point, I think it's Purdy. Where do you go on that one, Jason?
I think you just said exactly what I was about to say, which is if you're a Packers fan, you want to come out of this season saying it's Jordan Love. And I think Stroh's argument about what he has had around him in terms of experienced quality players, right? I mean, I understand Deebo Samuel isn't what he was. I understand that George Kittle missed some time last year with injuries. I understand that Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL, but all those guys were established upper echelon players, as opposed to all the Packers skill position guys where you're still kind of crossing your fingers and hope they become what you want them to become.
Yeah. So I had Jordan Love ahead of one of my favorite players in the league, which is Kyler Murray.
Oh, yeah. I also love Kyler Murray.
I don't think there's any debate about that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm also a big Kyler Murray fan. I'm with you on that, but I agree.
Kyler Murray fan. I think he's been surrounded by a lot of, like, ineptness.
He's had a million offensive coordinators.
Incompetence, yeah, in Arizona. So I had him ahead of Kyler Murray. I also had him ahead of a bunch of those, like, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Bo Nix, like that group, which I think you all agree with. I had him ahead of Dak Prescott.
You did. That's actually surprising to me. I figured you would have gone Prescott.
Head-to-head playoff game, big spot.
You put a lot of stock into head-to-heads.
I'm saying the big spot, when they're that close, I want to see what you do in the big moment. That's why the Justin Herbert one was tough for me. But to me, I just couldn't give it to Dak Prescott after what we saw Jordan Love do in Dallas. Dak Prescott's a 1 seed, and he gets...
2 seed, but yes.
2 seed. He gets blown out of the water by... Wait, weren't they the 7? Why wouldn't they play the 1?
Because the 1 gets a bye.
They had byes back then? Yeah, good.
Back then. Yeah, 2 years ago.
I thought there were 2 byes back then. Okay, good. All right, there we go. All right. So Jason, where are you on Dak versus Jordan Love?
I'm not going to give the nod based on head-to-head. I'm going to say that Dak Prescott has done more for longer. So I'm going to give him the nod now with the possibility of being replaced. I mean,
What are you going about Trevor Lawrence then? You giving Trevor Lawrence the nod?
No, Trevor Lawrence had 1 good year at this point, right?
Yep, correct.
We can agree with that, which is about the same amount as what Jordan Love has had.
And what are you going to give Tua? Tua?
I don't know where to put Tua because he will always be to me one of those players that I would love to know what his career would have looked like had he been concussion free.
Okay, how about Kirk Cousins? How about Kirk Cousins?
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not putting him. Not Kirk Cousins now. Okay. But hey, 2 years ago,
maybe.
Right?
Like yes, totally agree.
Kirk Cousins, there's a total argument to be had.
So then basically I had him at 13th. Strophy, you have him maybe 12th. Will, do you probably have him at like 14th? So he's like kind of middle of the pack. And I think people are like, oh my God, you pay all that money. I think that's where he should be right now. And I think at the end of this year, I think after last year, he would have been in that 7-8 range.
Yep.
And I think now we'll be satisfied if he's at that 7-8 range at the end of this year.
I just want to underline and highlight something Jason said before, because I think it is so important for the conversations we will continue to have this offseason and then eventually in the regular season. That is, it is just a massive, massive season for Jordan Love and his perception in the league, right? This time next year.
And among Packers fans, frankly.
Yes. And I think, you know, when we have this conversation a year from now, if we do this again, we'll probably have six more co-hosts at that point, but we will have that conversation again in a year. I hope it's more, would you rather have Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts than it is, would you rather have C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love or Dak Prescott or Jordan Love like we're having today? I hope that conversation looks very different because, A, he's healthy. B, it's another year in this system. C, all these young players, hopefully, and I know, what do you always say, progression isn't linear or growth isn't linear, Jason?
Growth is not linear, yes, that's the phrase.
I hope the guys around him can take that next step and he can take that step along with them. And we're having the conversation, oh, is Jordan Love a top seven, top six quarterback in the league versus is he 14th or 13th with Brock Purdy?
All right, there you have it. And Jason Wilde, always hanging out with us a little longer than planned. But good stuff as always, Jason.
That was fun.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. The great Jason Wilde. You could listen to him with Mark Tauscher from 9 to noon every weekday. And you can follow him on X at Jason J. Wilde. We don't have a 7-11, but we will have another NFL question that I told you I'd
have for
you.
Oh, it's NFL.
Yes. NFL. As we continue, it's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.